This is John Watts, and you are listening to Technology, Learning, and Libraries. Right now, I'm standing outside the School of Education in the rain at Indiana University Bloomington. We're about to head inside to speak to Dr. Curtis Bonk, Professor of Instructional Technology Systems at Indiana University. Dr. Bonk studies and writes about the use of technology in education, and we are here to ask him some questions about that very topic. Here we go. Hi, Dr. Bonk. How are you?
Okay.
Good. We're just curious about talking to you a little bit about using of technology in the classroom, but first I want to congratulate you on your new book.
Well, it took a little bit to do. Now I'm doing a second book. So The world being open, everyone wants a free book. So I'm doing that. I'm creating an extension book with the same chapters, just different content.
So can you tell us a little bit about the book?
The premise of the book is that now anyone can learn anything from anyone else at any time. So we've got Twitter posts, you've got Ning groups, you've got Facebook accounts, you've got online learning from MIT, you got mobile learning on your mobile phones, you've got Second Life accounts, the e-books, and this has been the summer of the e-book. When you look at all these things combined, online portals on Shakespeare and Darwin and whomever,
right?
Einstein. And you got all this stuff up there. It's content, and you've got people getting broadband access, and you've got a culture changing from browsing and passively learning to participating in learning with YouTube and Wikipedia. Things are changing. Mm-hmm. Many things are combining simultaneously to change the opportunities to learn. So that's basic premise of the book. And
so it sounds like you're a huge promoter of 2.0 technology. Maybe in your own words, could you tell us what is Web 2.0?
Web 2.0 offers a place to rally around. So it's a common phrase. It's not an academic term. It mm-hmm. comes from, Tim O'Reilly from O'Reilly Books. So it's a summary. It's a bucket holder. It's a summary for all the stuff that's coming out, whether we're talking about finding media online or doing synchronous conferencing or doing a wiki or a blog post. All these things with the virtual web streaming or concept mapping tools, participatory concept mapping tools, all this stuff can fall in this bucket called Web 2.0. Basic notion is that we can tag information, we can subscribe to it, we can share it, we can create it, and that's the big part, is the creation part, remix it, tinker with it. In the past, the Web 1.0 was a browsing, pretty much browsing only.
Mm-hmm.
You can read it. Might be able to cut and paste a web link into someone else so that they can read it too. It was
right.
text, and more text.
Right, yeah.
Well, today we get into other areas. And so if, in fact, we get into the Web 3.0,
uh-huh.
with the Web 3.0, we've got possibilities for people to, in effect, have the semantic web where we can maybe voice activate what we need, browse what we need at will. So the things are more personalized in our environment. Right now it's a whole mess of stuff up in the Web 2.0. The Web 3.0, maybe we filter it better. Maybe we access it more speedily and if efficiently.
It's more tailored to us.
Tailored.
Individually.
Yeah, that's maybe where we're going, and that's the hope.
Okay.
So I'm a promoter of Wikibooks. I've done Wikibooks. I've done research on them with colleagues at University of Houston, and we've had Wikibooks with students in China and Malaysia and Taiwan, all collaborating with Indiana students. So,
oh, wow.
So that's Wikis. I've done research on blogs and the instructor, the student empowerment issues and instructor ceding power over to students with blogs. Another thing.
Are you using these technologies in the classroom?
I use all the technologies embedded in my class. I have student assignments where they can create podcasts. I have assignments where they can create Wikis, and they do. Or blogs and that kind of thing, or they're in Second Life or whatever. So I embed technologies as part of the assignments in my class.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're optional things, so I like options. I'll have A, B, C, D, and E, and E might be create your own podcast series, like what you're kind of doing here.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I embed things, and I like YouTube videos. I'm doing research on that now and why people would share, watch, or create a YouTube video by having people randomly be assigned to one of 60 of the most popular videos. So I'm also using video in my class where people watch videos and reflect on them in OnCourse every week in our course management system. And it brings the whole class together because now they can watch a video and it links to the lecture, it links to the book, it links to the PowerPoints, and they talk about the video for 2 minutes of B.F. Skinner or Piaget is wonderful. They love that more than the reading the book for 3 hours or watching the lecture for a half hour, 45 minutes. That 3-minute video brings home a lot of the content. That's powerful. And now there's YouTube EDU, which has 200 channels. There's Link TV, which has National Geographic specials. There's TeacherTube, SchoolTube.
Right. So how do you compare with your colleagues, do you think, in your use of technology? Do you think that using technology in the classroom is appropriate in all disciplines?
Well, you know, of course, it's in. Well, before I was doing things in Web 2.0, I was integrating things, and I've been teaching for 20 years, and I've been integrating all the time. When I got here in 1992, faculty would look cross-eyed at me, you know, what the heck's he doing with technology? This campus has gone through a transformation, as has many over the past 2 decades, and moving us into integrating technology. But yeah, it's changed. The culture changed. We have more acceptance. There are conferences that, you know, here on campus, this scholarship on teaching and learning with a lot of technology people brought in. We have brown bag lunches on technology. We have a laptop project where if you get 16 hours of training, you get a laptop in the School of Ed to teach from. And so I'm not the odd person anymore.
Everyone's kind of catching up now.
Right.
Yeah. And that leads me actually to another question, and you know I'm a library student, so I have to add a question about the libraries. In your book, you discuss open access materials and learning, and how have you seen the role of your campus as library change since the inception of open access?
This morning, the Inside Higher Education has had an article on what libraries might look like, and they of the future. They actually talk about thinning out of library staff.
Yeah.
Because all the content's available in so many places, it's farmed out to different remote regions. I see a library a little differently than that article does. I see the library as being the place, the learning place. Libraries are going to have to think about what selective specialties that they offer for people to seek and find information when they need it. I guess this area of open education is one where the library could specialize in the opening up of content and how do we access that content, how we look find good quality contents. The library could be the place for the kind of evaluating the quality, understanding what quality means and using it, and copyright issues and all those things. So, the wonderful world of libraries.
Libraries, yeah.
So the world is open with all this, and that's, to me, you know, I made a statement, that's all we need.
Thank you so much for your time. Sure. We really appreciate it.
Sure. I was glad to be here today. It was fun to do, and I hope your series goes well.
Oh, thank you so much. You have a great day.
Sure. Thank you.